You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, we're recording the post Thanksgiving midweek howl. The Browns are playing in overtime right now as we're speaking. I'm still licking my wounds from the Ohio State Buckeyes getting their butts kicked yesterday.
Oh, you thought Ohio was going to do better than that?
I hoped. I thought they would. You know,
weren't they rated higher?
Well, yeah, it was 2 versus 3. Ohio State was 2. Michigan was 3. Ohio State was the favorite on paper. Ohio State just did not play very good defense. They gave up a couple long passes in the first half, and then, of course, they make adjustments to stop the long pass, and then they, you know, start giving up long runs in the second half. And I don't know. It's just, you know, it's college kids. It's a big rivalry game. You know,
once you get behind, it's hard to catch up.
Well, yeah, and you don't. It's two undefeated teams. You know, you expect it to be a hard fought game, and it was until the very, very end. I think Michigan broke up a couple long runs. I had to listen to it on the mail route. For years, I have worked.
Took it off.
No, I've never taken.
Oh,
it
I
off.
Thought you've watched it in person a few times.
I have. Yeah, but it's always when I have that. Like next year, I can see the schedule. Next year, I'm off that weekend.
Yeah, that's after, what I mean.
Of Thanksgiving. So I could actually go to the game next year. And because that one year we went, we used tickets that my brother-in-law got from Art Schleister as part of that last scam he ran that got him sent to prison.
Who?
Art Schleister. Remember the Ohio State quarterback that got made to the NFL and then got banned for life because he was such a horrible gambler.
No.
Then, you don't remember Art Schleister in the early 80s? Yeah, he.
I thought that was accepted back then. I seen Pony Express.
Express. Well, it was.
No, didn't you see Pony Express on that 30 for 30?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Trans Ams and getting money and Corvettes.
Well, you know who got him hooked on gambling was Earl Bruce. Took him to Scioto Downs, the racetrack south of Columbus, and got him hooked on betting on horses. And it just spiraled out of control. So how were you
able to get tickets? He had extra tickets or what? Well, when he owed y'all some money.
Well, what happened was is he got out of prison. I mean, he spent a while in prison for gambling and drugs and stuff. Now this has been 7-8 years ago, probably at least maybe 9. But he got out, and what he was doing was he was people who had season tickets, and then one of them was Dave Thomas's widow.
Dave Thomas, the Burger King guy, the
Wendy's guy.
Wendy's guy.
The Wendy's guy. And so what he was doing was he was acting as a broker for all these people who had season tickets, and he was selling them all. Well, my brother's company, the seed company, and I won't throw them under the bus, but they didn't know any better. But they bought tickets to all of, to every Ohio State game, gave them away to farmers and stuff. You know, it's kind of a benefit. So the Ohio State Michigan game, we used them. We all used them. You know, then he ends up getting arrested at the end of the season. Because he sold all these tickets and never.
Well, how did he get them to sell them? I guess is my question.
Because he acted as the broker for all these people, and they expected him to take them and sell them, and then give them the money.
Oh, and he kept the money,
and he never gave them any of the money
back. Oh, so it was like the crypto guy last week.
Yeah, like the crew. And in fact, he had a
parking. In fact, he's still walking around, right?
Yeah. Well, the best part was he had a parking pass that was right up at the stadium, and he claimed that it was his from when he played, that Earl Bruce and the university gave it to him for whatever, for his contributions to the football team back in the early 80s. And
was he still a good player?
And he still, well, yeah, he was a really good player. And he still had it. Now, that was not true. It was somebody that had these tickets, parking pass. But he, you know, that was part of his, you know, his scam. Is he made, you know, telling everybody, oh, that's my parking pass, my own personal one that I've had for, you know, 30 or 40 years. So anyway, yes. So Art Schleister is back in jail again, I think. I think he just got busted for something else. So I don't even know how he got on Art Schleister. But yeah, there you go. He was one of those NFL guys that they just could, I mean, he was such a gambler that it just was, he couldn't help himself. I mean, I've read his one book, and it was unbelievable. Even in prison, he was still gambling. Like, people were still taking his bets. That's what blew my mind, is he didn't
have
any
money.
No money, no. I mean, he could only, you know how those college guys are. You're in a region of the country where football is king, whether it's Alabama, Texas, USC. You know, you can get by on your fame for a long time, okay? But you can't go forever and keep screwing up. You know what I'm saying? You know, So he's pretty much screwed up every opportunity he's ever had and keeps doing it. Yeah, and the worst part was I almost felt bad for the lady of when, I mean, she was an old lady, got, you know, taken advantage of, and then you got to remember.
Now, did she have tickets or something, or what was her deal?
Yeah, because they're from Columbus. Dave Thomas and them from Columbus.
Wendy's guys, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're from Columbus, and so, you know, you felt bad that she got bilked out of all that, and then I remembered, no, wait a second, she's got all that Wendy's money. How bad should I feel?
You know? You're telling me she got bilked out of a couple hundred grand when she's got a couple hundred million.
Oh, she didn't even get bilked out of a couple hundred grand, I don't think. I don't think the tickets that, because I think it was one season. I may be wrong, but, you know, you're talking maybe $10,000, $20,000. I mean, I could be totally wrong on that. But she was one of many people. You know, I think it was, he had dozens of tickets, you know. So he was probably, and Ohio State always plays 7-8 home games, you know, so he was probably pocketing thousands and thousands of dollars every home game, you know, which in the grand scheme of things isn't a lot, but when you're, you know, a guy like that with no source of income and you're probably betting all the money anyway, that's a pretty good payday, you know.
Have you ever seen, go ahead, finishing off.
Well, I'm just saying, because it's probably one of those where he thought, I will make all this money back on a bet and still be able to pay all those people back. And it just never happened, you know? It's never happened.
Because as a gambler, that's the way they think.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you ever seen the movie with Bronson and...
Chris Lee Marvin. It was called
Bronson and Lee Marvin called. Oh shoot!
Wasn't that the Dirty Dozen or something?
No, like there's a different one. Oh, I didn't even think about that one. Yeah.
So they had another one together.
I watched it. I was it was youth year season. I had my son up to my uncle's, and he's getting big enough he can go out in a deer stand himself, right? So he's out there in a deer stand, and I sit in there with my uncle. And, you know, it's either the Western Channel, but whatever he was watching, it had nothing but Bronson movies on for 24 hours, right?
Okay.
So he was like, and he's 70, going to be 71, right? So he's like, well, have you ever seen such and such? I'm like, no. Well, what kind of Bronson fan are you? You know, and It's like it was... every movie I hadn't heard of. Right? Yeah,
you're not into the deep cuts.
Well, it's like, dude, come on, man. Because how many Bronk movies Bronson make? I'm looking at it right now, and it's in the hundreds. I mean, in 1958, he made 1, 2, 3, 4 in 58, 59, 66. You know, some of these he made, 65, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And, I'll tell you what year it was. It was 1974. He did two releases. It was called Breakout.
Okay.
Breakout, and then it was Hard Times. Hard Times is what it was. And what it is it's a boxing, he's just a drifter, and he gets in with James Coburn. I said Lee Marvin, I meant James Coburn.
Oh, geez.
James Coburn. Okay. And Coburn's a good gambler, so they win some matches, but what happens is Coburn wastes all his money, so, they're about to kill him or break his legs or whatever, and Bronson decides one more match to help you square the books, you know what I mean? So,
anyway. And that's the gambler in them.
And that's what I wanted to say, is because there's a situation where they both won a big fight, and they both, I think it took place in 26 or something. So it'd been, Bronson's first bet was all the money he had, and it was $6, right? So, they go through this whole deal, and there was a point where they both had $5,000. And Bronson,
wow, starting with $6 to get to $5,000, that's pretty good.
And Bronson is done, right? He's gonna hop back on the freight train and go to see America. You know what I mean? He's done.
Yeah.
And he plays this stoic, quiet figure. And of course, Coburn blows his money, and his old lady leaves him because you blew freaking $5,000. Shooting craps in 1926 or 1931 money. 26 would have been the Depression, right?
Good grief, $5,000 had to be like...
I wouldn't even know what... Yeah.
Well, I'll look it up. You think 1926?
It would have been the equivalent of... Hold on. I think it was 1926, and I bet you with my... The $5,000 would have been the equivalent of... It's probably going to tell you something like 48,000, but it's probably more like 80,000. So tell me what it says.
Okay. Let's see. It would be $84,000.
There you go.
That's a pretty good chunk of change.
That's a pretty good guess on my part. Uh-huh.
Holy smokes. I mean, that would have bought you a lot of stuff back in 19.
I went to a thing where, I'm trying to remember which, because I've been to a lot of John Wayne stuff. And it wasn't the John Wayne Museum in Fort Worth. It was another John Wayne Museum. He had a big ranch in Arizona, and I was trying to find it. Anyway, it was like he bought 6,000 acres. And I think it was like $50 or $80 an acre in the 60s.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I want you to think about that. You know what I mean? So it was like.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to wrap your head around that for sure. You know what I'm saying? Because you think, oh, that's nothing. But then you didn't make very much back then.
Nobody made much back then. I mean, they still don't today, right?
Unless your last name's Rockefeller. Or a Getty or one of those guys.
Hey, what were you going to tell me? You were going to tell me something before we get off with the rich. Speaking of rich people, tell me about my fan mail.
Okay. All right, because you were in a bad mood when we got on here.
I still am in a bad mood. I've just harnessed it.
You've harnessed it? Okay. All right. Uh-huh. So we did our, Thanksgiving special, went out on YouTube, and we get some very interesting. Well, when our super fan isn't on there, trying to bad mouth all of us, we do get some really good, and I thought you'd enjoy this. So this guy named Elvis Burton, he put, I could listen to you two talk for hours. Your conversations crack me up. I don't care if you talk about the subject at hand. I just love hearing you two talk. Yes, I am stoned. Yes, I am happy. There you go. So Elvis, so real Elvis, alive Elvis, loves listening to us, and I, you know, he partakes in some extracurricular activity there while he's doing it. So well, I guess we're popular with is it cool stoners? Stoners? Yeah, it's
a cool, I don't know. Stoner. I mean, back when we were kids, that was a that was a negative connotation, was it not?
It was, but I mean, I don't think it is now, is it? I don't know.
I mean, how would you know anything nowadays? These kids, you know.
Well, and I don't know. I'm just assuming Elvis is younger, but he might be older. I don't know.
You know, my son was. Go ahead.
I just appreciate that he likes to listen to us and he enjoys us.
Yeah. You know? I mean, speaking about knowing nothing, you know, my son was just. We were just joking a while ago that poor Melissa Milano, is that her name? Marissa Milano, what's the gal's name?
What? Well, the guy from the girl from Who's the Boss?
Is that what she? I don't know. I don't know who. I don't know my movie stars, but she ditched her Tesla. She got rid of her Tesla because she didn't want to support white supremacist racists and bought a Volkswagen. So. We were just laughing at it.
They certainly don't teach Hollywood or history where she's out in Hollywood or something. You know what I mean?
So back to, yeah, I don't even know anything anymore, but I probably know that much, right?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Uh-huh. That would be, yes. That if you don't understand the where Volkswagen became.
Yeah. Yeah. We just leave it at that, right? We just leave it at that. Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. I guess so. I just don't.
I feel bad for. I'm sure somebody probably has straightened her out by now.
Maybe.
And how do you? Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't know back there.
I don't know. I think that's a lot of people's problem. They don't understand history.
You know, I told you. Yeah. Well, they don't want to tell famous people stuff, right? I mean, I've been in those situations where nobody wanted to tell the boss bad news because they thought that he was going to equate the bad news to you, right?
I can understand that. We don't get that way at the post office, but you know, we're not afraid.
You mean y'all go tell everybody, you go tell the boss how screwed up something is?
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty.
Cause I know I've told you about watching Stevie Wonder walk into a TV screen a couple of times, right?
Okay, so I'm on Stevie Wonder.
I'm on a flight from Chicago to Los Angeles.
Okay.
Wide body, not might have been a wide body, but big, like a 757 extended range or whatever. It was a single aisle, but remember the old kind where the TV like drops down from the ceiling?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And they got a big TV that drops down. When you're in first class, they got two of them, one at the bulkhead and one of them about row six or whatever. And it's a freaking TV that drops down, right? So we load up, and of course, when you know, a lot of times when you're flying or whatever in my previous lifetime, when somebody famous is in the first class, the flight attendants act different. Well, so a lot of people are apparently famous, and you don't know who they are, but they get a manifest, and they get told, you know, like I sat next to that Russian tennis person, right? And tennis girl?
No.
Okay. Let me finish Stevie Wonder, right? So freaking Stevie, and of course I know who Stevie Wonder is, right? So if you're the right ilk, I know who you are. If you're Mick Jagger or Stevie Wonder on the plane, I know who you are.
Yeah.
So we take off, you know, 20 minutes after takeoff, wherever the bell dings, it's safe to get up or whatever. And Stevie's, I think, in the third. I think I was in the fourth row. He's in the third row. So he gets up. And I don't even know if he had a guy, right? But when he did not have a stick, you know how they have a blind person stick or whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
A cane.
The first cane. Several first class passengers was looking like me when Stevie gets up to Stevie Wonder. And it's like, is somebody going to tell him the TV screen has dropped down? Nope. Bang. Walks right into it. Flight attendant jumps
up from the jump seat, or she's actually making coffee or whatever. Oh my God, Mr. Wonder, you should have told me blah, blah, blah. And he quips something, you know, I don't remember what he said, but she helps him in the lab and he goes to the bathroom. He comes back, sits back down. So Chicago to LA is like a 4-hour flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
A period of time later, hour later, 2 hours later, same deal.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gets up again, and it's like the same people. We're all looking around. Is somebody going to help him or say something to him? And I think I was by the window is the reason why I didn't get up and help him. Bang. Walks into the freaking TV again. And he says, oh, I forgot it was there. So I don't know. He says something. Same deal. Of course, this time, you know, he gets around and goes to the bathroom. So about an hour, a little bit before we land, third time, dude, he gets up and I shit you not. Everybody is looking at each other like, we're going to help him. He's going to. I think part of the people were like, surely he's going to remember. He walked in this TV screen twice. He knows it's there, right? Bang, walks in the third time. He turns around, looks at all of us and says, I didn't see it in something, you know. And you just feel bad, right? You just feel bad, but it's like...
Wait, so he did he turn it into a joke? I didn't see
it. Yeah, he was trying to make light of it, you know? You know? But, dude...
What? No, wait a second. How does he not have people helping him?
I don't think he had anybody, because a lot of times they'll have... You know, I sat behind Andrew Dice Clay one time. And he had a dude, and that's what you said, who had a people. I don't know if Stevie didn't have anybody or the person he had didn't help him. Surely he had, because most of them have somebody. So I was on a plane with Andrew Dice Clay was in front of me, and it was absolutely terrible weather. I mean, terrible weather. And it's dark, and it's bang, 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 bang. You know, I mean, I don't know how many flights you've been on. It's just rough, but I mean terrible. And you know, he plays tough guy on the screen, right? On the stage, he's a tough guy, big news. He's not very big. He's like 5'6", 5'8". He's a little bitty, you know?
Okay.
So anyway, he's about in freaking tears. He's by the window. His handler's by the aisle. And his handler's like petting his hand, telling him it's going to be okay. And he keeps looking at it and goes, no, look at all this lightning we're flying through. And about the third time he said that, I looked down and I realized, and it's the marker lights on the wingtip. You know what I mean? And it's like every time you look out there, he thought we was flying through like a lightning storm. Look at all the lightning. Look at all this lightning.
And it was just
spraying the shit. It's like, dude, those are lights on the wings, man.
Are you sure it was? You sure it was Andrew Dice Clay and not like Henry Winkler?
No, it was Andrew Dice Clay. So, hey, I had an international flight to Paris, and I sat next to, and I looked her up the other day.
Anna Kournikova?
Hold on, I'm going to tell you what, because all these Russian tennis players look the same to me, you know.
Don't know if you say so.
Do what?
If you say so. Yvonne Lendl? Oh,
man. Hold on, I'm going to look her up, and I won't be able to pronounce it anyway. Maria Sharapova.
Oh, yeah, Maria Sharapova. Yeah.
Okay. And she was in the middle. I was on a wide body. So there's two aisles. We're on the left aisle as you're driving the plane, left aisle. I'm on the aisle on the left side. She is just across the aisle from me, one row up. So instead of being beside me, she's, but they're not really side by side, true side by side, like they are in a normal aircraft. You know, when you get some of those international airplanes, they're almost staggered, right? So she's a little in front of me, but she's right beside me across the aisle. Her handler's on the opposite side. And they sit down, and the flight attendant tells us on that so-and-so's on the plane. And I didn't know who she was. I was flying with a dude that follows me on Twitter. I don't want to say his name. He knew who she was because he knew all the famous people.
You mean they announced that she was on the plane?
Not on the plane. Well, in my old world, dude, we had privy to information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was in my old world where we had...
Because you have to know that stuff because
sometimes, yeah. So
yeah, she might be a target of something.
I doubt that, but
well, you never
we know. Knew that she was on the plane, and they had to, my guys had to tell me who she was because I didn't know who she was, right? So she gets on the plane, she got a handler, and the handler's got a stack of magazines about 10, 15, 10, 12 magazines tall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we take off, and this gal has got like Bubblicious or some kind of big square grape bubblegum, right? And I swear every 8 or 10 or 11 minutes, and she's chomping, and she's going through every page. I shouldn't even mention her name. We might have to scratch this whole thing.
I don't want
her getting mad from the shadows, right? She might cancel us.
Listen, if Maria Sharapova has a problem with this episode, she's we'll more than
we apologize.
Yeah, she's more than welcome to get a hold of me if she
okay.
wants to.
Okay. So she is going through every page of these magazines and she's finding a picture of herself. They're like Sports Illustrated, they're like tennis, they're like whatever magazines she is in, and a lot of them are not necessarily articles, but advertisements, right? Because
mm-hmm.
she was the face of certain things, right? Whatever she was. So she was chomping this gum and flipping this page. Just and she would get to a picture of herself and she'd pull the page out.
She'd pull the page out?
She was collecting pages of herself. And like every 10 or 11 minutes, like the bubble gum would lose its sugar. You know how when a little kid gets bubble gum and it loses its sugar?
Yeah.
She'd get another piece. So her assistant, this Eastern Bloc girl, you know, whatever she was, right? Her assistant had a stack of magazines and a stack of Bubblicious. And it was, give me another magazine or give me another piece of bubblegum. And and she was going through these. So when it was all said and done, she had about 15 or 20 pages of herself. And she put them in a file. Uh-huh.
Are you serious? Like,
I can't. You know, I don't have enough Sigmund Freud. You know, Sigmund Freud was pre Russian tennis pros and Sports Illustrated and Bubblicious. So I don't know if we have to come up with a whole new, you know what I mean? A whole new psychological profile or ego set or whatever. But
well,
I'm just telling you the story, dude. I can't.
Well, what's strange to me is why would you save those pictures out of magazines? Wouldn't you have access to, or the ability to like actually get like an original copy of the picture or of the ad or something that would be kind of a cooler collectible, more cool collectible?
I just look in the mirror anytime you want to see her, see yourself to see the tennis pro. I don't know, dude. I'm just telling you. I've seen some crazy stuff, right?
Wouldn't it have been great if she'd have been like every time she changed Bubblicious, she'd like stuffed it in one of the pictures of herself and just threw it, you know, like she was.
Like, no, what really... she did do is she
mutilation.
And I could help her out. She could have called me. I could have helped her out with that. If she needed to feel bad about herself, I could have helped. That with her.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, she would throw the magazine she pulled the pictures out of, she'd throw on the floor, which I thought was low rent, but whatever. she'd throw them on the floor. So every four, you know, every...
That was the part that was low rent.
Some flight attendant had to come over and pick up all the shit she was throwing down on the floor, but, you know, who am I?
That was the part that was low rent?
Yeah, well, I thought it was low rent more than the Bubblicious and, you know, and... And they don't what was I watching? I was watching something the other day. Did you watch a documentary on Netflix about the Australians who beat the USA Cup for the first time in like 100 years? Did you watch that?
Oh, that was great.
And didn't you see the captain of that boat started out by saying that, you know, within the first 5 minutes of that documentary, he said, when you win a world championship like that or World Cup in anything, you're different than everybody else. Yeah. Meaning, you know what I mean? If you've got the ability to like those guys, right, go through all the stuff that they went through, and they're so competitive, and so they're almost nuts. So somebody like her, you can't gauge her on the girl that works up here at the Shell station and sells you cigarettes and lottery tickets, because they're not – they have the same biological parts maybe, but they ain't got the same mindset, right?
No, there's no – yeah, there's nothing.
That's what I mean. So when you know,
if that's the worst thing Maria Sharapova does is too bubblicious and pull out magazine article pictures of herself, then okay, right?
I'm sure that's probably is the worst thing she does. I mean, I don't even know how you know, right?
Sounds like you got a stack of magazines that you've been pulling.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I had myself in a magazine, maybe I'd pull it out, right? Maybe, I don't know.
Well, you know, we'll get circle back to Elvis here, you know, but I don't think people understand how, like, I've had some podcasters tell me, man, don't pay attention to what people say about you. But I mean, I think it's kind of, I think we kind of enjoy knowing the people at least.
It's Elvis. I can't do the Elvis joke.
But I mean, I appreciate anybody that takes the time to say something nice, because a lot of times it's just people take the time to say something bad, and I don't really understand that.
I'm glad you shield me from all that. See, so you're my person.
Yeah, I'm your handler.
Yeah, you're my.
I have your stack of magazines and your box of Bubblicious here.
Mm-hmm. Mine would probably be chocolate, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I had read something. I don't know how much I would travel. I always say I'd never make $2 million, because once I made the first million, I'd quit. You know? I had seen a thing on, I think it was Larry the Cable Guy. I'm pretty sure it was Larry the Cable Guy, not to mention his name in our podcast, but where he was only doing small sets and they were like driving distance to, you know, like he would do them in Denver. He'd do them in Minneapolis. He would do them any place that he could, like get in a new Lincoln Continental and drive to, right? Or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was flying around the world doing whatever he was doing. And that to me sounds more appealing than.
So you're saying we're saying we might not go on that European tour. We just want to go.
Well, once I get there, I might stay. Because I keep seeing where they're not very hard on the undocumented immigrants over there. So yeah, why can't we just stay?
You know, I keep thinking that at some point we're gonna have to definitely take a European trip, because I think the more we talk about it, I feel like I need to go with somebody who really knows their way around over there, knows the customs, knows.
Well, where's over there? Where are we going? I guess
anywhere.
We should have went to Liechtenstein.
Went to Liechtenstein, so it was awesome. So it was
that's
really
what I mean.
Beautiful.
So
but they went and did that country concert in the off season. Like he said, the town that he was in during ski season was just probably jam packed, and it was a huge tourist attraction. And they were trying to draw people there during the off season. So, which I can imagine probably is. If that's your main thing and it's not ski season, right? I mean, it would be.
Well, I mean, when was it? I forgot. It was in the summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in July. So there was no June or July. So there's no skiing. So, but I mean, I really like, I like it's, it's kind of cool the fact that I know we have people that listen to us over in Europe, and it would be kind of cool to go and experience that, and maybe even meet some of those people. Because I know we got some good
this afternoon.
You ready to get set? I mean, yeah, listen. I mean, I know if we get over there, we're going to go see Stephen Wade. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
That's right.
He seems like about one of the coolest fans, you know, that has reached out to us. So maybe he's just trying to lure us in, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, that's the only problem. You know, I'm not scared of meeting any fans in America, because you're an American. At the end of the day, you can beat the shit out of them or shoot them. But you go over there and they frown on that behavior. Yeah, I mean, you just can't square them away like you can over here. So I don't know. You know, I mean, look, they got, I don't even want to get on the anti-oil people. Have you seen all those people tearing this hell out of stuff? Didn't I talk about it last
week? Yeah. We talked about it.
A while ago, man. I was watching them again a while ago. And this is what I don't understand. They're standing there with tennis shoes that are made out of oil. You know what I mean? Everything they got on, it's made out of a derivative of oil, right?
Well, I wonder what's going to happen. I saw the protests in China that are going on right now about the COVID restrictions. Well,
you know what? I was just talking to somebody about that earlier. I had listened to, of course, I listen to a lot of the podcasts. A lot of the spaces stuff I listen to are financial, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that a lot of that has got to do, they locking them down to keep them from making a run on the money at the banks is what they were doing.
Oh, really?
Because they have such a false economy, right? So they have inflated the value of their economy by building all these empty buildings.
Yeah, there's like cities over there that are empty, right?
Right. So apparently they have got all this in, like, you know, like the FTX, just like the crypto exchange almost. For whatever reason, a few months ago, you know, people are trying to make a run on the banks, and the place is going to collapse.
Boy, what would that be like, China collapsing?
It would screw up our toilet paper and a few other things, but it might not be that big a deal to us. I mean, technically, we could, when I say we, the American population can wither that fairly well, because we have food and space and natural resources. Now, we have, not to get on a political tangent here, we have politically hamstrung ourselves from utilizing what we have as Americans. So, you know, they might have to start making TVs back in, you know, didn't they make Zenith and all that stuff in Illinois at one time?
Well, we're south east of Columbus, they're putting in huge those chip factories.
Yeah, so we can start
making that stuff again. Which,
yeah, so at some point, I'm not caring about the chips. I'm caring about the freaking toilet paper and stuff like that.
Well, those chips, those little microchips, run everything.
I've got everything I need as long as I've got toilet paper. my truck runs fine. My computer runs fine. Okay.
Hey, listen, bottom line is, we run out of toilet paper, we can start grabbing Maria Sharapova ads out of Sports Illustrated. Bob was
just thinking just her leftover magazine.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.